is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Hi, David. I'm nearly finished, but sit down.
Can I buy a second coffee?
No, thanks.
One hamburger, Joe, both three. A whole of onions. And a glass of milk.
Milk?
Yeah, one for the road.
David, you kill me.
This is kitty hour. I'm driving to the airport to meet Isabel. Nancy's coming with me. So why don't you come along? It's a lovely day.
To meet Isabel? She'd get back on the plane.
Oh, I forgot. You two aren't exactly bosom friends.
Look, we don't match any way you look at it. I'm curious. Why is Nancy going to the airport? I mean, Kate's the one Isabel would expect.
Well, Nancy's restless these days. Kate can't make it.
I bet I know why.
She has a date.
I can tell you where. Society column in the North Falls Star this morning. I was reading it when you came in. Here. Mr. and Mrs. Edward J. Benson of North County are celebrating their 15th wedding anniversary with a dinner dance for 80 close friends at their home Stone Ledge. Among the guests will be names, Mr. Anthony Cushing.
Okay.
It doesn't list Mrs. Anthony Cushing.
Or Kate.
Maybe so. But I think she'll be there. So would any girl in her right mind.
Thanks for nothing, Faye.
Look, be glad I told you. I may be the best friend you have, Davy.
And I'm in trouble. Forget it, Faye. You're all right. I couldn't do without you.
Thanks, boss. Tell me that often enough, I might just believe it.
I'm ready, David.
You certainly are. Who are you setting up for the kill?
Well, I don't always wear jeans.
Hop in.
Oh, neat car.
I might explain, I don't usually blow a horn when I call for a lady, but then she usually isn't sitting on the front step.
Well, everybody just blows the horn these days.
Okay, I'll try to make with the greasy kid stuff.
Well, you needn't, David. Not if you expect to interest me.
How's that?
Well, where are we going?
To the airport to meet Isabel, remember?
But we're hours early.
Did you ever hear of traffic?
Oh, that. Hey, you know, David, you really are the man I'd most like to get stuck in a traffic jam with.
Let's hope you don't get your wish. If we're early, I'll buy you an ice cream stick at the airport.
I have a better idea.
I'll bet.
Why don't we go to the airport by way of the city?
Oh, come on, Nancy, that's 20 miles longer.
Yeah, but we might pick up Kate at the studio club, see if she'd like to go with us.
Honey, you live in a world all your own, don't you? In the first place, Kate couldn't come with us. She's busy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second place, if we were going to do anything as nutty as that, we'd telephone first.
I did.
You did what?
Just what you said. I phoned Kate early this morning.
Did you get it?
No. But I left a message we dropped by.
That must have made her day.
So we can't disappoint her, can we? Oh, I really thought it would be a nice thing to do, to drop by where Kate lived, maybe pick her up.
Sure it would be.
We can do it?
She won't be there.
But you don't know.
I'm about 98%
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but the other 2%, it is worth a try, David.
Nancy, we've got to make a decision before the parkway sign. Now, what's this all about?
If I told you it meant more to me than anything
going
else...
Going past... Kate's place? What's it called?
The studio club.
To see if she's there? That's important?
It's the most important thing in my life today. Please, David, would you?
Rudy, you don't have to wait here in the lobby with me.
What else have I got to do for another hour?
I thought I'd be early and sit here where I can see Mrs. Benson's car through the door.
Oh, you're going to have a ball, Kate.
Well, yes and no. Trudy, shall I tell you something?
Sure.
Now that I'm going, I'm all jitters.
Well, Nat, it's something new.
All those people in that huge house.
Oh, you'll hold your own, Kate.
It made sense when Holly Benson invited me. I'm going up as her guest and not with Tony, you see. And last night it seemed a wonderful idea. Tony said we'd meet all over again as if we were meeting for the first time, but...
But?
Trudy, Tony's married. No amount of pretending is going to change that.
Pretending won't change it. But from what you said, Kate, Tony's been trying for a long time to get a divorce. Long before you knew him.
That's what he told me.
And you have no reason not to believe him.
I do believe him. I believe it's been a bad marriage. They never see each other. She likes freedom,
yeah.
And he gives her a great deal of money to enjoy it. But he can't get a divorce.
Aren't you curious to meet her?
Trudy, Tony wants me to. He said if I did, I'd understand, but I can't face that.
Face her?
No. I can't quite face feeling like the other woman when it hasn't been like that at all. I guess it's my Puritan upbringing, as they call it.
That's a pretty good thing to have, Kate.
I thought so. I grew up in a nice, plain family. My sister and myself, we went to Sunday school. We were taught what was right and what was wrong. It wasn't any problem. My father and my mother both thought they knew, and they brought us up nice girls. Joy, my sister, is just like that now.
And so are you, Kate.
I suppose so, but suddenly I'm involved, as they say, with a married man.
Oh.
And I'm going up to some big, fabulous party where a lot of people will think of me as Tony's new girl. And I want safe, little, old-fashioned Belhaven.
Kate, if you were in Belhaven this minute, what would you be doing?
Oh, Trudy. Wishing I could go to some big, fabulous party and meet a lot of new people. So, you see, I've just got to work it out.
Well, you got to live, Kate. Otherwise, you die. Oh, hey, Kate. Is that Mrs. Benson's car out there now?
Oh.
That gray job?
It must be. Yes, that's Holly at the wheel.
Oh, Rolls? And she drives it herself? Oh, must be some gal. Oh,
if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be going. I'll let her know I'm here. She's... Oh, she waved. Oh, Trudy, my bag.
Right here.
Thanks, Trudy. If Jeff comes back in trouble...
I'll look after him, Kate. Don't you worry. Now, you just have fun.
I'll tell you everything when I get home. Thanks for hearing me out, Trudy. I'll do the same for you.
I may ask you soon. Bye.
Bye. Well, this is it, David. The studio club.
Is this where Kay lives?
So did I last summer when I was taking courses. Oh, it is so super. Nobody cares what you do.
Thanks for showing it to me.
Well, let's see if Kate's here. Excuse me. Oh, I know you.
Trudy Kiefer. Hi.
Oh, yeah.
You're little Nancy Reed.
I'm Nancy Reed.
Yeah.
This is my very good friend, David Sloan, editor of the Belhaven Dispatch.
Assistant editor. I'm glad to meet you, Trudy.
Likewise, David. Hey, you looking for Kate?
Yeah, we took a chance.
Well, you missed her. Kate's left for the weekend.
Oh, well, too bad.
Let's go, Nancy.
Oh, sure. By the way, Trudy.
Yeah?
Is someone named Jeff Clark still hanging around here? I used to know him.
Yeah, I remember. Sure, he's around, but he's away for a few days.
Oh, well, tell him Nancy Reed dropped by on her way to the airport with a very important newspaper man. Shall we go, David?
2 gallons of gas and an hour in traffic for that?
I have been wanting to say that for months. Thanks, David, for putting it all together for me.
I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc. Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Faces of Love features Joan Loring as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, and Helene Dumas as Holly Benson. Also appearing were Bill Griffiths and Joan Shea. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This is Mel Brandt. Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vanity Fair from its modest author, William Makepeace Thackeray. Not modest, do I hear a voice or two saying? Oh, come now. On some days I am the soul of modesty. On others, surely all of us, upon occasion, are entitled to a bit of the first word in the title of this book. Pray now, let us deal with the book, not with my failings. By special messenger this day, Becky's friend Amelia Sedley, that dear creature who sees only good wherever she looks, has received... Ah, let Amelia tell what she has received.
Papa, I have such a fat, delicious, exciting letter from Becky.
And what's that charming minx to say?
I don't know if I should read it to you. She says very firmly I must not share it with George.
Oh, for very good reason. George don't like Rebecca.
Oh, he does, Papa. He only doesn't know he does.
Then let's hope soon he finds it out. As for me, I do like Rebecca. I know it. She knows it. And thus, I believe she'd have no objection to me hearing her letter.
I believe it, too.
But you've two letters there, Emmy. She wrote you two?
No.
But you've two?
Yes.
And from whom is the other?
Becky.
Emmy, what is this mystery?
You'll understand in a moment, Papa. Shall I read now?
By all means.
Only the thrilling parts. You don't want to hear about frocks and her pupils and all of that, do you?
I want to hear something, child. Mm.
Dearest Emmy, dearest of friends, all year has been so exciting. I've not had a moment to write to my Emmy. Queen's Crawley Manor is humdrum house no longer. It is, and I do not exaggerate, paradise. What, you may ask, has made it so? In three words I can answer. Captain Rawdon Crawley. Oh, Emmy, I love him. He loves me, and the world is ours. There, Papa. What do you think?
I think Captain Crawley is the luckiest of men, excepting George Osborne, who is loved by my Emmy.
Now Becky will understand about George and me. She couldn't before, and now she can.
Because she understands about love? Does anyone, I wonder?
Oh, Papa, don't say those terrible, cynical things.
I'm a terrible, cynical old man. Read on, child.
Oh, this is the part about George. Emmy, you are not to tell one word of this to George. Already, before ever my darling Rawdon came to Queen's Crawley, George told him dreadful things of me, that I am a nobody, a prevaricator, a fortune hunter. Promise, dear Emmy, promise you will not breathe one word to George of what I write here. Papa, surely my George wouldn't and couldn't and didn't say such wicked things of Becky.
Dear innocent girl, why do you suppose she'd have married your brother? Is Joseph a catch for any girl except he's stuffed with money?
I shan't listen to you.
I'm not decrying Becky. Who isn't a fortune hunter? All of us all want more than we have.
I don't, Papa.
No, not you. But then you're like no one else, and that is why I fear for you.
For me?
What the world will do to one so good, so innocent. Now read.
No one here knows Gordon
and I love. We needs must keep it our sweet secret. His aunt Matilda Crawley is very partial to me, but would not approve her nephew to be serious about a governess, and would not leave him a farthing in her will.
There, Emmy dear. Not a fortune hunter, our Becky?
No, Papa. Her very next words are, he is serious, and I am serious. Oh, how I love him, Emmy. You see, she loves him, and the money is just...
Money. But I do believe she loves the fellow, so let's not quarrel anymore. What next?
The next is lovely. She says Captain Crawley is coming back to London tomorrow, and Becky herself is coming soon. And they...
And they're to be married?
No. That is, not yet. But I'm certain they will be. The second letter is for him. I'm to send it round to the barracks by my maid.
Why would she have you do that?
So he'll have it the minute he comes.
Well, I mean, why does she not send it direct?
Oh, Becky explains that.
Then pray explain to me.
Ah, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Would I had written those words. I bow to Sir Walter Scott. More of Becky's tangled web as soon as I find a new quill. This pen is quite worn out.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How fortunate is Becky to have a friend to whom she can tell all, and a father of that friend not in the least put off by the real Becky. Amused only is Mr. Ted, as you shall hear.
My dear, carry on. Why is the other letter not posted from Queen's Crawley directly to the captain?
Papa, even I knew why before Becky told me. Miss Crawley might see it and know what they don't want her to know.
Ah, to be sure, stupid of me. But I've got out of the habit of intrigue. Too old for it.
Now guess how Captain Rawdon will write to Becky.
I cannot.
They have told Miss Crawley that her nephew loves Lady Isabel Blessington, and Becky loves a soldier named, I forget his name, here it is, Gordy Kiner.
Hmm?
Becky made him up.
Oh.
Someone will write Becky's name on the captain's letters, so his hand won't be recognized, and the words from Gordy Kiner. How clever Becky is.
The word hardly does her justice. Now, what's this about Becky coming up to London as well? Giving up her situation as governess?
Yes. Wait till I find it. Here, I will soon come to London with Miss Crawley. As her companion, her something, I don't know what, but I will, though she does not yet know it. Without Rawdon, this tiresome old place will be humdrum house again. Even if it were not, I must be near my love, and some way I will come.
I've no doubt some way she'll come.
Oh, yes, Becky can do anything she sets her mind upon.
Mind and heart. I think she never before set her heart. A formidable combination if they belong to Miss Rebecca Sharp. Is there more?
Only a little.
A little is a great deal from that pen.
Dear Emmy, You will not know me.
I hardly know myself. I did not want to fall in love, for love makes fools of us all. I had other plans than this, but destiny and Rawdon have taken me by the hand. Dear Emmy, I am ever yours, Becky.
A philosopher is Miss Rebecca Sharp.
Papa, what does she mean she had other plans?
Why, she planned at the very least to marry a rich nobleman. Marry a title and a million a year, I should think.
Captain Crawley's father is a baronet.
The captain is the second son. The title goes to his brother, as does Sir Pitt's money. But there's Miss Crawley's money, ain't there? I seem to recall she's a great deal, and I gather some or all will be the young captain. But when? There's the rub. We've been told Miss Crawley would not approve a governess for her nephew. So don't listen for wedding bells, Emmy, till funeral bells toll. Miss Becky may be newly in love with her captain,
not
but...
may, Papa, is.
But she will be faithful to her first love.
He is her first love.
No, her first love was, is, and ever will be money. Never will she forget her years of poverty, nor do I blame her. I wish her well.
Mr. Sedley may not be as wise as he thinks. As Becky herself knows, love can make fools of us all. Tomorrow, dear listeners, it does just that to... Well, you must be here to learn. Your obliged and devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by 4-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Just a second, Evie. Okay, hold on. Dear, Evie's on the phone. She said they just got their film back from their summer vacation, and do we want to come over and see it?
Definitely not. They always do this. I have sat through more of their home movies, and there is nothing more boring.
I can't tell Evie that. What'll I say?
Well, tell her I don't feel like it. First of all, my back hurts. I wrenched it today when I picked up...
Never mind. That's good enough. Hello, Evie. Listen, Bob's back hurts. He wrenched it today and he just doesn't feel like going anywhere.
Fred takes more home movies and he must be the world's worst photographer.
Listen, Evie, we'd love to some other time, okay? Sure. All right, Evie. Goodbye.
Fred takes more home movies, and he must be the world's worst photographer.
Yes, I heard you the first time, and I just hope Evie didn't. You know, you always make comments, dear, when I'm on the phone. I'm always so afraid people are going to hear you.
Well, maybe they should. Evie and Fred are always pinning people down to watch their home movie.
I know.
We watch their kids roller skate, ride their bicycles, have birthday parties, Christmas morning around the tree. We've seen their trips to New York, Disneyland, and a million feet of film about their camping trips.
Oh, I know.
Ooh, there's Evie coming out of the tent. She's getting breakfast. Ooh, there's Fred holding up the fish he just caught.
All right, don't go on. I've heard it all, too.
I'll bet Fred has more feet of film than all the Hollywood movie studios combined.
And he has them all cataloged, too.
The worst of it is he's such a terrible photographer.
Yeah, I know.
He pans back and forth so fast you can't really see anything. It's just a blur.
I know. That's when he's showing scenery or something you might really want to see. Then you get 2 whole minutes of Evie just standing on a bridge waving at the camera and winking.
Right.
They're coming over. I'll bet we're right. What'll I say?
I don't suppose there's anything we can say that I haven't said before, and they never take the hint.
Hello? Hi, Evie. Uh-huh. Oh, listen, that's very sweet of you, but it's a nuisance bringing the projector over. No, really.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's very nice of Fred, but really, I mean, it would be much simpler if we came over to your place some other time. No, of course. You know, we love to see them. Oh, fine. All right, Evie.
We're in for it, huh?
Well, they found the film they took when they were in Mexico City, and since I may go with you in January on that business trip, she thinks I ought to see the film of their trip down there, you know?
You mean we're in for both Mexico City and their summer vacation?
Well, I'm afraid so. Fred's bringing the screen and the projector.
Well, that's another thing. We've got a screen and a projector. Why does Fred always insist on dragging his over here?
He thinks his is better, dear. Probably is. Well, come on, let's move the furniture and get the chairs set up.
There's Bunny when she was trying to learn to ride her new bicycle. Oh, remember, Fred?
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Isn't she cute?
Just adorable.
And there's Fred washing the car. There he is turning the hose on me. Oh, I was so mad.
Oh, yeah. She was so mad.
Who took the picture since you're both in it?
Oh, I think my dad was there that weekend.
Oh,
look.
Oh, that's Fred's mother. Oh, Kate's having her picture taken.
Where's the Mexico stuff?
Oh, that's coming up, very soon. I spliced that onto the end of this reel. I take the small reels, splice them together on this big reel. Then we can enjoy about half an hour of film without changing reels, you know?
Yeah, I do.
There. That's the start of our Mexico trip.
Oh, I see.
There I am at the airport getting on the plane.
Uh-huh.
And there I am at the Mexico City airport getting off the plane.
Oh, that was a quick trip.
There.
And there I am in front of the hotel we stayed
at. Oh, that woman with her. And the guy. Very nice couple we met. He was a lawyer. Yeah. I think from Des Moines, Iowa.
No, Fred. That was the other couple.
Oh.
These people were from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think he sold insurance. Oh. I dropped my purse and everything fell out of it.
Oh,
that's the taxi driver helping me pick things up.
Yeah, he didn't speak any English.
No,
and you should have heard Evie try to talk to him.
Well, you certainly got some good shots.
Yeah. I try to get some little amusing things into my films instead of just always having scenery, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, did you get any shots of the pyramids outside Mexico City?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Great shots. There's Evie.
Yeah, that's me, standing beside a huge palm tree in Chapultepec Park.
You can't see too much of the park, but it's tremendous.
Oh,
those are some children chasing a little dog in the park.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
There are the pyramids. Well, actually, I'm standing in front of one of them.
Okay. There will be a short intermission while I change reels. Just keep your seats. It won't take a second. There's more to come. Oh, that's the state park entrance. Beautiful park. Clean as a whistle. There I am, putting up the tent.
Uh-huh.
The best part was that we had just perfect weather. Uh-huh. Oh, there's the lake. There I am, testing the water.
Yeah, look at her. Evie's always scared to jump right in. I say if the water's cold, it's better to just run and jump in.
Oh, I look so silly. There I am, frying bacon for breakfast.
Oh, got some gorgeous lake trout.
Oh, it's nice. I love fresh lake trout. Don't you, dear?
Yeah.
Certainly looks as though you had a lovely vacation, doesn't it, dear?
Yeah.
Oh, we did. We did just great. Oh, that's some kids playing Frisbee.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
hold on. Another change of reel. I haven't had time to splice these small ones yet.
Listen, Peg, why don't you get some coffee, honey? It's so late, and let's have something to eat, too. I'm kind of hungry. How about you, Fred?
Well, sure, I could do with something.
Well, it is late. Heavens, is it nearly midnight?
Oh, listen, when you're enjoying yourself, who cares what time it is, right?
But you and Fred have to go to work tomorrow, dear.
Oh, well, you only live once, you know. Listen, honey, I tell you what. Why don't you fix some grilled cheese sandwiches, and while you're doing that, I'll go find our films.
What?
Yeah, we've never shown you any of our films. And since Fred's projector is better than ours, let's show some of ours while he has it over here. Okay, Fred?
Well, sure.
Oh, great. I'll go dig them out and find some good ones. Honey, how about that family reunion one? That was a good one.
Well, that's when we first got the camera. We hardly knew how to work. That's the worst film we have, dear. Get one with the children, or how about our trip to California?
Well, it is almost midnight. Why don't we plan a special evening just to show your film?
No. I'm in the mood tonight. Peg, fix the coffee and sandwiches, and I'll find our family reunion, and Fred can thread it on. Okay, Fred?
Oh, well, sure. Glad to.
We haven't seen these films for years. I'm glad you thought of it, dear. All family reunion.
Yeah,
it's so interesting.
There's my Aunt Agnes.
Aunt Agnes.
That's Uncle George, right, Doctor?
Oh, we had the reunion at Bob's parents' place in the summer. You know, the flowers in the garden. There, aren't they lovely, Evie?
Yes, lovely.
There I am. There I am again, passing plates around. Who's that, dear?
Well, that's my cousin Jerry.
Oh, yes, Jerry.
He's taking pictures of me taking pictures. Look, he's a clown. You ought to meet him, Fred. You'd have a lot in common.
Yeah? Well, you got some good shots there.
That's the neighbor's little girl, Susie, riding her kitty car.
And there's Aunt Ruth, dishing out ice cream to my cousin Carl.
Uh-huh.
There's his sister, Carolyn.
Carolyn.
And then I panned up into the sunset, which was really beautiful day. But the film didn't develop too well.
Well, that was really a nice family reunion, wasn't it, Evie?
Yes. It was. Very nice.
Oh, it's not over yet. Then back to supper that evening. That's my sister. And there's Uncle Paul, my cousin Jane.
Cute. Boy, were you cute tonight. This morning, I should say. It is 1:30.
It'll be a long, long time before we have to sit through any more of their home movies.
Even so, I thought our films were much more interesting than theirs. Didn't you?
Oh, definitely.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Coming. Oh, Madame Brenner. Come in.
Oh, good morning, Madame Scott. Something disturbing has happened. I thought I should tell you.
What is it?
This letter from America. It has been delayed.
Oh, what happened?
Yesterday, right after the postman left it, I had a visit from a strange little man.
A strange little man?
He had one of those hard hats with a brim.
A derby?
Yes, that is it. And he had a mustache.
Oh, I see.
Well, after he left, he had inquired if I had any vacancies. I noticed your letter was missing. I searched everywhere for it.
But now you have it.
He came back this morning and he said he had picked it up by mistake when he put his briefcase on my desk.
I see. Well, thank you, Madame Brenner.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Madame.
No, don't blame yourself. I know this man and I will deal with
him. Thank you, Madame.
Madame Renée. He got what he was looking for. Dear Lisa, this is just a brief note to bring you up to date. Everything is as scheduled.
There's going to be a party tonight for Lynn and me, and I'll be meeting the family. Lynn's father isn't too keen on the marriage, but thanks to you, and of course, Rene Noir, he doesn't know anything about me. I miss you terribly and wish we could be together. Lynn and I will be married soon, but what is between you and me? How can I ever tell you what it means to me? Oh, my love, Kurt.
And with a return address on the envelope. Now Rene has everything he needs. Hello?
I have a collect call from a Curtis Rogers in Chicago.
Yes. Yes, I'll accept the charges.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you, darling?
Well, today's the day.
The wedding?
Yes.
Well, it's what we planned for.
Yes. You sound depressed.
I had some bad news.
What is it?
Rene knows where you are and what you're doing. He got the last letter you sent me.
Are you sure?
Yes. It's too complicated to go into. I'm going to see what I can do. Don't worry.
Of course I'm worried. If he calls here...
Maybe he'll write.
Everything seems all right now. I think I'd know if anything had gotten through.
If he hasn't done anything yet, I'll see if I can stop him. If he's already written... You'll be married by the time the letter gets there.
All right, darling. I miss you. I'll write you from Bermuda.
Bermuda?
And that's where we're going for the honeymoon.
Well, I suppose you must.
Well, it's Caroline's gift to us. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, my darling.
If I could get my hands on Renee. Come in.
Hello, darling. Happy wedding day.
I thought you said it was unlucky for us to meet on the day of the wedding.
Oh, who believes in superstitions? I just had to see you.
Have you seen your father?
No. Why do you ask?
I was wondering if he was going to give us his blessing.
Who is it?
Madame Scott.
Come in. I've been expecting you.
How did you know I would come?
See, madame, I have a bottle of your favorite wine.
I see.
I realize my little place is not as elegant as yours, but then I live within my means.
Why did you return my letter to Madame Brenner?
How else would you know I had won, madame?
Oh, of course.
That is part of the game. It would not be as pleasurable for me if you did not know how I had done it.
And you knew I would come here.
Come, let us have some wine.
One moment, Rene. I don't believe in drinking until I know what I am celebrating.
In my house,
we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
But I've told you, I have won, and unfortunately, you have lost.
All I know is that you stole a letter addressed to me.
And you wish to know what I will do with the information in the letter. It's simple. I made a copy for myself.
A copy? That you plan to send to Mr. Carter?
No, I shall read it to him.
Read it to him?
I'm going to call him. Tell him all about the man who is planning to marry his daughter, and to prove it, read him the letter.
I see. Then you haven't done it yet.
Madame, I was waiting for you. I wanted to see your plans come tumbling down around your head.
You are quite an impresario, René.
Eh, you are right. It is dramatic. But when I think of how you almost outwitted me, well, this is a small payment for my wounded pride.
You know, I don't understand what you think you will gain. Aside from the winning, it is an exercise in vanity.
Mr. Carter of Chicago is undoubtedly a wealthy man, and I'm sure he'll pay well for this information.
Perhaps. But then he might not.
Oh, you think not?
For a practical and clever man, René, you are about to make a stupid and a very foolish mistake.
And, of course, all the times you have interfered in my plans, you have done so only to keep me from making a foolish mistake.
Information is only valuable if there is a market for it. And some information can be considered worthless to one party and almost priceless to another.
Please make yourself clear.
I know the value of your information. Mr. Carter does not. Nor could he know until you tell him.
Well, then?
Once you have told him, he has all he needs to know, and he can pay you nothing.
He would not have the proof. The letter...
Once you have admitted your part in all of this, do you think he would believe you?
Well, it would stop the wedding.
Perhaps. You could keep us from carrying out our plan, but you could still end up with nothing.
I would keep the innocent young Miss Carter from marrying a fortune hunter.
Oh, very noble, René. Shall we drink to your newfound kindness and goodness?
Oh, Lynn, you look lovely.
I do?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I do, don't I? I think it's because I'm so happy.
And the weather is perfect.
I know.
I think it's the last Indian summer day.
I'm so glad the wedding will be in the garden.
I'm going to miss you, Lynn.
Oh, Caroline. We won't be far away. And I'll always remember it was because of you that Kurt and I met.
You, too, did that.
But if you hadn't taken me on that wonderful trip to Switzerland...
I suppose a mother, even a stepmother, is still supposed to have some words of wisdom on her daughter's wedding day.
I have been married before.
Well, I don't mean that. Young people today seem to know so much about that part of marriage. But the other, the dailiness... of living with another person, the dangers and delights of knowing someone well.
The way it is with You and Daddy? Yes. I don't think I've ever thanked you for making him so happy. He was so lonely for so long.
I think that's why he feels so close to you and wants the best for you.
That's what Kurt is, Caroline. The best for me.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.